was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night rolls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, 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 my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, once again sitting in for Tom Lacovara, who's languishing in a holding cell in Lane County, Oregon. They picked him up on a possession of firearm charge, even though he was in possession of nothing. He happened to be in a hotel room that had a gun nearby. For anybody out there who's a new listener or joined us, who hasn't been around in a little while and wondering where Tom is, that's long and short is Tom's being unlawfully held, so he can't cover the Clive and Bundy trial in Nevada. Period. There's the whole thing in a nutshell. There was no lawful charge to be levied against Tom. Strictly this legal crap that comes out of the state and the federal capitals, claiming that somehow the state can be a victim because Tom was near a gun. And once again, if there's one thing I want to drive into people's minds, because the public fool system is doing its job perfectly and preventing real true knowledge from getting into the minds of the youth, the state cannot be a victim. It is a fictitious entity. That means false. And it would be a fraud upon the people and the court to even suggest such a thing. Yet the courts and the attorneys and the district attorneys are all operating on a fraudulent basis, claiming that somehow the state can be a victim. And we had a caller named Carol, I think, last night, and she asked the question, why don't I hear about the vicar generals and the judicial vicars and you know, the real problem with the state can't, you know, the state being a victim and claiming living status, while they claim the people who are living, us, we the people, are somehow inanimate objects or to be classified along with other animals, i.e. the Food Safety Act of 1903, I believe it was, either 1903 or 1906, which said humans and other animals. And they've been looking at us as property ever since. So anyway, thank you for joining us tonight. This is why I'm sitting in for Tom. The corrupt government, state and federal, and local, because let's not forget, there's a shy sheriff in Lane County who is the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision. That's their own definition. That's from LegalDictionary.com. Sheriff, quote, the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision, period. And that's it. It's really short and sweet. There's no, oh, except if you have a three-letter corporate agency next to your name, then everything's different. Or if you have the word state police on your car and you have a fancy, and you wear a big hat like Dudley Do-Right, and you walk around preening and waddling like a fat Nazi turd, then all of a sudden, oh, that's going to trump the sheriff? Uh-uh. Sheriff's the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision, period, end of story. It's been that way for hundreds and hundreds of years. That can be very good and very bad. It can be very good if you have a constitutional slash common law sheriff who doesn't believe in property seizure, who does not believe in the drug war. Hello, all you pseudo-conservative patriots who think the drug war is conservative. The drug war is not conservative. War itself is not conservative. It's highly liberal, communistic, and fascistic. And that's just the way it is here tonight on Resurrect Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I was wondering if we have Keith Jones with us tonight. Mike, did we happen to get a hold of Keith to just give me some backup and some support when I need to take a breath?
Keith, are you here with us?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us, buddy. How's things out in the heartland? Give us a farmer's perspective.
Well, do we want to talk about the good part or the bad part of it at the moment?
Well, you can take your time and slowly expand upon both. Give us the bad news first, and then let's wind up with the good taste in our mouth at the end. So what's the bad news?
The bad news, it's extremely cold, and we got snow on the ground.
Oh, that's normal. We got that here in upstate New York, and about half the country's got that. So that's not too bad of a bad news.
No, but the good news is at least we have power, so at least we have heat.
Praise be the Lord. And by the way, I want all the listeners to know that when I'm filling in for Tom, the show, when I'm on board, this show stands on Psalms 94:16, and Psalms 94:16 clearly says, another nice short and sweet, who will stand up? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? It says stand up. It says rise up. It doesn't say sit down in the Barca lounger and be an armchair patriot. Focus on the beautiful things. Let's see how much good news we can pack our delusional childhood with as an adult. And then let the tyranny and the Antichrist system take over? Bless all the patriots listening to this show who are activists, who are really involved, at least in the learning stages. If you're just new to this, hey, I understand you can't bite off the whole apple at once. Take a bite at a time. Do a little at a time. First thing, get yourself some knowledge. Second thing, you know, if you're a caring person, then you ought to be an activist right then and there. What do you do as an activist without taking so much risk that you're going to wind up getting yourself incarcerated or having all your property seized overnight? There's a lot of things you can do. I would suggest getting down to the witch's courthouse. That's your county, local, or state, or federal courthouse. And very nicely and professionally pass out some flyers, especially on jury selection day. If you really want to make an impact and have an effect on a positive effect on this society, you really want to resurrect the republic, print out some jury nullification flyers. What is jury nullification, Eric the Freedom Screamer? As most of our listeners know, jury nullification occurs when a jury finds a defendant not guilty, even if the person accused, the defendant, so to speak, even if they're, quote, technically guilty of breaking the statute, the bogus, fake, made-up, unlawful, I don't care how legal they try to make it, statutes that trample on our freedoms. So jury nullification occurs when a jury finds a defendant not guilty, even though they may have technically violated the statute, because the jury feels that the law is either immoral or being wrongly applied. I would say that about 99%, and this is not an exaggeration, 99% of the, quote, laws that are out there, local, state, and federal, are completely illegitimate. They have no standing whatsoever. None of them, very few of them can actually show a victim. That's why they have to keep claiming the state's a victim. No victim, no crime. So if a jury finds that the law is wrong, or that the law is being wrongly applied. Maybe the law is not such a bad idea, but maybe they're abusing somebody with it that shouldn't be abused. So in those cases, a jury can vote a defendant not guilty and do it with a clear conscience, because the jury is the ultimate arbiter, the ultimate say in the matter. They're completely immune. Don't let any judge like Judge Craig Duran of the New York State Supreme Court in Canandaigua, New York, parading around the aisles, waving his arms in a complete panic with a giant artificial grin on his face like the Joker, beet red skin, completely freaked out. They were melting down. I heard they were swearing in the back room in the chambers because I had passed out to all of the 100 people in line out front a jury nullification flyer at 8:30 in the morning. I got there about 8:25, 5 minutes before the doors open. And just as the doors were opening, I was walking down the line passing out a flyer. I didn't make a big scene way ahead of time to draw a lot of attention, and I didn't get there late because once those doors open, everybody's in the courthouse. Now, you can walk around the courthouse and pass out flyers, but you're going to get a little more hassle. You're going to get a little more resistance. You never know what they're going to trump up or make up some idiotic judicial procedure. like them denying cameras in the courtroom, even though multiple federal court cases have ruled the First Amendment protects the right to video record matters of public interest on public property. And in the Ninth and 11th Circuit, there are two cases federal that will get the cameras in the courtroom for sure. People have called me and said, yes, it worked. And so we're going to get to that a little bit later. But get yourself back to activism. Pass out some jury nullification flyers down at the courthouse. Just call the courthouse and say, hey, when's jury selection day? And they'll say, oh, it's on Tuesday or Thursday or whenever. Sometimes it's one day a week or 2 days a week if it's a bigger courthouse. And get down there on those days. Now, don't be case specific. Be very general, because you don't want to taint the jury pool and say, you know, this case that you're about to adjudicate is wrong and this guy so-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so is getting wrongly, you know, arrested or convicted. Don't do that, because they'll just throw out the whole jury pool and bring in a new batch and try to make it impossible to pass out flyers. So you don't want to do what Judge Craig Duran did, which is jury tampering, walking down the aisle saying, now I know you all got a flyer this morning. Okay, this is the judge and the witch in his black robe. Yeah, basically lecturing in a very intimidating way, walking right up to the people. He got off the bench and came out of the across the bar onto the land. Dudes and chicks. He didn't stay up there and give the lecture. He walked the aisle. That's why I say it was like the prices. It was like Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall, where he's walking up and down the aisle. Anybody got a ring or a pen in their thing? I'll give you $20. He's up there waving his arms saying, I know you got a jury notification. I know you all got leafleted today. Now, this leaflet claims that you can vote your conscience and do the right thing and judge the law. No. You can only apply the law as I give it to you. This is that judge talking, Craig Duran, and he says, you can only judge the law as I give it to you, and anybody who can't do that, make me that promise right here and now, raise your hand. So, I mean, he's got these people freaked out like they're going to go to prison if they do the right thing and invoke their conscience. And sure enough, the jury bit the poison apple. They were intimidated enough to put a man in prison for 4 years who didn't hurt a flea and never had in his life. So, and it's a Second Amendment issue for all you gun owners. This crap in New York under the SAFE Act is metastasizing across the country, although some good news, a federal court in the Marianas Islands just ruled recently in the past few months that, they even used the word safe in the ruling, so it was a clear reference to the New York gun laws, which are called the SAFE Act, and it ruled a number of things, including, concealed carry, permitting, magazine capacity, definitions of assault rifles. There are many things they address, so people might want to look to that case if they have any gun issues in court. While I'm on that subject, our listeners in Idaho should be advised that recently, this is not super new breaking news, but this is something that happened within the last, well, I believe it was over, this past summer, this past year, the Idaho Supreme Court scaled back Idaho's DUI law. And this is how they're getting a lot of people disarmed, is if you have a couple of DUIs, driving under the influence, or DWI, driving while intoxicated, you get a felony charge, no more guns. That's it. So that's why they're lowering the threshold. And I'm not advocating driving drunk, okay? I don't want to hear it from all the people, what do you think, drunk driving is better? No. But what's way worse is a giant Nazi police state. I'd rather roll the dice and take my chances. Here's the deal. Freedom has a price. I believe it was Eisenhower that said, if you want perfect freedom, move into a prison. He said, or perfect security, that was it. He said, if you want to be perfectly safe, it's because this is how they sell the give up your freedom thing. It's always under safety, public security, national security. And he said, if you want perfect safety and security, move into a prison. There you'll have food, you'll have water, they'll give you clothing, you can watch TV. The only thing you'll be lacking is freedom. Freedom comes with a price. Part of the price of living in a free society is there's a little risk for everybody. Okay, you're never going to eliminate that. And the government comes out of the Vatican, especially the real world players know that if you can instill enough fear into people, you can get them to do anything. They'll give sign away their kids if you have an authority figure and you scare them enough. That's why your authority figure always comes around in a uniform with pieces of tin all over their breasts and all these little retarded little ribbons and things hanging off the shoulders and different colors and stars all over the place, nice Masonic symbols, and all the crap they wear, the doctors with the long white robe and the freaky priests and the pointy hats who look like graduates from Ku Klux Klan College. You dress up enough and scare people enough, false flag terror, then you can get away with just about anything. And look, it's happening. The proof's in the pudding. modern society has proven my point. Keith, do you have any comments on any of that?
Well, two things, actually, but they're both related. Is A, number one, and I'm not saying always, because I know firsthand that it always doesn't work, but a lot of times people who get picked up for DUI, there's no victim.
Yeah, so I'm glad you got me back to that. The Idaho Supreme Court, I got off on a DUI thing because I wanted them to know that this is the main vehicle for disarmament. One of the main vehicles is DUI and DWI felonies that cause convicted felons not to be able to own guns. And that's ridiculous. Okay, so the court ruled that implied consent, which is what you basically do when you sign on the dotted line for a license or you sign up for a registration or insurance, it's called implied consent. The court ruled that implied consent does not revoke the right of a motorist to refuse a blood alcohol test, meaning they forcibly draw blood from you. Idaho police will no longer be able to forcibly draw blood from motorists suspected of driving under the influence. The court insisted that the Fourth Amendment requires the use of a warrant for such a search. Kudos to Idaho. The witch's court did the right thing. I'm in complete and absolute apoplexy. I can't believe it. So they just ruled that, hey, cops, if you think, and the police, amazing to me, that when they were ordered to go draw blood from people on the road for just a suspicion of something, just suspected, not actual or not seen swerving or not just run into anybody and hurt them. I'm talking about just suspect. They could come up with anything. Oh, your tires touched the line. You rolled through a yellow light. Things that people do all the time just under natural occurrences. Human error. They could suspect, quote-unquote, anything. So the court insisted that the Fourth Amendment applies to these blood searches. And if you want Adolf on the streets, if you want to suck people's blood like a vampire, you're going to have to go get a warrant to do it from the witch's court. Keith?
Well, I know a lot of people who've actually got their charges for their, speeding and parking tickets and stuff like that dismissed because first thing they do is turn around when they go to court. They say, excuse me, but prosecutor's not giving me the person that was injured so I can put together my defense.
And of course,
there's no person, so... You know, they say, well, and they say, well, I'm in criminal court, so there's no victim, there's no crime. They have no choice.
So now,
a lot of times,
we go back to a commercial jury. Yeah, it's a great point, Keith. And this is one. This is something the most important concept we can impress upon everyone, especially the young, because they're going to be taking over this either something very good or something very bad that we're creating right now. Called out of control government. But the state, like Keith just said, where's the victim of this alleged offense that I'm here in court for? Tom LaCavara. Where's the victim? Who was injured by Tom LaCavara sitting in a hotel room in Oregon? Apparently he had called the police to discuss with them some issues with minors being out at the outpost where the Patriots were making a stand. He thought he wanted to, I think, convey the fact that there was kids there. Please don't come in with guns a-blazing. I'm just trying to save lives here. So the cops show up at the room. This is what happens when you call the police and the fire department. You start involving emergency services and trying to do the right thing and go into use the system. They came into the room. They started searching around. Implied consent. Well, you let us in the room to talk with us. We feel we needed to look around, see what's here. And they found a gun in there. Of course, Tom had a minor statutory in his past. And so as a convicted felon, he is prohibited from owning firearms for the rest of his life, according to the witches and Nazis. But I don't think so. That's not an appropriate. The Second Amendment says shall not be infringed for a very good reason. They put those words in there because they knew what would happen. Little infringements, a little restriction here and an infringement there. Of course, the witches' Supreme Court, which is not only supreme in their sin, have all, of course, backed up many of these. Well, there needs to be sensible gun restrictions. There needs to be no gun restrictions. Sensible gun restrictions would be disarming the worst part of our military, which is the offensive part. We have no business invading foreign nations. We can go down that rabbit hole later. But back to what Keith was saying, no victim, no crime. So I suggest people, when you, if here's what I would do, you take it for what you want, but when you go into court, the first thing you want to insist on is, where is a sworn affidavit from the person who was injured by my alleged offense or action? Okay, so then they're going to say, well, the state. And you're going to say, well, the state is a fictitious entity, and fictitious means false, and that would be committing fraud upon the court. And they're going to say, does Trooper so-and-so claim that I injured them personally? Well, no, he's just the responding officer writing up the report. Okay, well, then he's out of the loop. Is the district attorney claiming that I injured them personally? No, they're just here prosecuting the case for the state. Well, the state is a fictitious entity. There's no that's a fictitious means false. Is this not a fraud upon the court, Your Honor? And we'll force their hand. The state cannot be a victim. It's a fraud upon the court to claim that a fictitious entity called society or the state. The retired parole officer told me that a lot of the cops are writing society into the line where it said on a complaint that the police would write up against somebody for whatever it is, let's say drug possession. You know, they would say caught with, you know, half ounce of pot or a couple grams of cocaine or whatever, and they would put it in the bottom. It would say where there was a line that would actually say victim, and where a person is supposed to write their name in, or a police officer, if a person's injured or in the hospital, obviously there's extenuating circumstances, but 99% of the time, the cops are writing society right next to the word victim. As if society is some, like, real, breathing, living creature. It's nothing. It's something made up. It's a made-up word of a group of, for a group of people, and the definitions can be nebulous. It can be, I mean, this is not a living entity. And I even had an attorney look me right in the eye. Actually, he was looking off to the side. He couldn't quite make full eye contact because he knew he was lying, and he said, "Yeah, it's a fictitious entity." Yep, and he was nodding his head up and down like the court's going to recognize this. It's a fictitious entity. Yes, it's false. Yep, it's true. It's true and false at the same time. Yep. It was unbelievable. It was bizarre. And this is a guy with a law degree and a nice house and an expensive car. Works for the public administrator's office, appointed by the witch's court over people's estates. And he said, "Yeah, an estate is a fictitious entity." Yep. And it's very real, and we're going to use it to do all kinds, to take your stuff, basically. And so it's very scary what's going on. The level of brainwashing is very deep, and there's a lot of people out there who are very mentally smart but morally retarded. And that's what I learned, having an attorney look me right kind of off to the side of his eye and say, yep, the fictitious entity is very real. He was using the word fictitious and claiming it was very real in the same sentence, in the same breath. And that's just an absolute absurdity. It's not this oxymoron. It's a lie. We know who the father of a lie is. So, anyway, Keith, you want to make a few comments while I take a quick break?
Well, I was just going to mention, I mean, I can go back 40 years and a personal deal. I was had been at school, and I went to have some supper with a friend of mine just off the campus of the school. And I just stepped off their property, and law enforcement pulled me over. Now, they had nothing work off of that I had done anything, because I just had stepped off some friends of my property. They want to take and charge me with under the influence of drugs because of the way my eyesight was. Had nothing to do, you know, had nothing to verify it. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you guys. But this is the deal. I'll go downtown, but you have to test me for drugs the second we get downtown. Okay?
Well, Keith, let's also, just so our listeners know, Keith, let me interrupt there so our listeners get the full picture. Keith and Keith Jones from Kansas is with us tonight. Keith is visually impaired, so he has a physical disability that affects his vision. So when Keith said, because of the way his eyesight is, I wanted our listeners to know that Keith has a legitimate disability, and he's visually impaired, and the police automatically figured, well, this guy's, whacked out on drugs? And I'm sure it was pretty obvious that you had more than that going on. They know difference between a physical impairment and visual, you know, and a physical disability and impairment from drugs or alcohol. So I just wanted to clear that up. Continue, Keith.
Well, and the funny part about it, because I was just a block and a half away from the school, the blind school there in Iowa. That's the funny part about it, their campus. And so I said, I'll make a deal with you guys. I'll go let you take me downtown, but the deal is I got to be drug tested right away. Okay, if I prove I'm positive, no problem. But however, if I prove out negative, guess who two people have to leave the force? Plus, I want an official apology from your chief police. guess what they did? They said, have a nice day and go back to campus. That was the end of it.
There you
because
go.
They knew just when I sat down and did that, I had my trump card already. They couldn't argue with me. You there, Eric?
Yep. Nice job standing up to them. You have to stand up and notice how Keith did it nicely and professionally. But if you're firm, you stay on the high ground. Isn't that right, Keith?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That was over 40 years ago. So, I mean, I've been at this battle since that time. So,
wow. Very important points here. Back to your point before, Keith, which is where's the victim? Where's a sworn affidavit? So this kind of gets us back to the court thing and Tom's situation as well. And, of course, Keith's situation, what, he had a problem with his eyes, apparent to the police, and that's some kind of crime? I mean, if that's the only thing, that if he's not swerving the car, or running into somebody, or slurring his speech, I mean, it's obvious. This is the problem. The police departments are hiring people with low IQs instead of people with high IQs, and that was recently borne out in the courts where a police officer with a high was rejected because his IQ was too high. No joke, people. For all you who haven't heard this, and he was because the attorneys for the town that was being sued, or the city, I think it was, made a stateable claim that there was a reason they were hiring lower IQ cops. It was because the higher IQ guys were getting bored with the job really quickly or discouraged because of corruption. They, of course, they're not going to say that in court, but I'm sure that was part of it. And they move on to other things. And they say, oh, and the witch's court said, oh, great, as long as you tell us you're doing the wrong thing, go ahead, rock on, and keep doing the wrong thing. And so the courts have ruled, you know, here we go again. This is why, you know, it's an uphill battle. But if we educate the next generation, it's up to us. The schools are actually working completely against everything that we're doing, which is trying to restore justice and freedom and a lawful, you know, the court system to a lawful position that's really interested in the law, the ultimate law, the fundamentals, the bottom lines. And all this crap coming out of the state capitals and the federal capital in D.C. is not law. These are statutes. They're statutes, codes, rules, and regulations that are made up by people who have a clear conflict of interest. And that takes us back to what point I wanted to make, that almost every court case that you encounter in the local, state, and federal courts are bonded. And it's called a performance and payment bond, and they make money on these cases that's why they do something called protracting, which is drag the case out as long as possible. The more they can drag it out and protract the case, even if it's a traffic ticket, the more interest is accrued on that bond that they take out on every case. So that there's an insane amount of money being made off these admiralty, statutory, militarized, ecclesiastic enforcement courts that we're living under presently. Keith? Hey, we got a break coming up. I'm glad you took a pause, Keith. You heard the music. I didn't. Folks, hang in there with us. We've got a lot more to talk about tonight on Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom Lacavara, doing Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, on the RBN Network. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, everybody, to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Streamer for RTR Truth Media on the RBN network. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. We've got another hour and a half. We'll see if we can get some more interesting information out to the people. We have Keith Jones with us from Kansas tonight. He's helping me out, and I want to thank Mike on the board. I want to encourage anybody to call here. We do have a call-in line. It's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Feel free to give us a call if you have any questions or comments. We'd love to have you call in. So, Keith, do you have anything else to say here? I want to get some comments from you. What would you like to talk about? You want to talk about the self-governing county for a minute or two?
Well, I just want to back up a moment here for what you were saying before the break, okay? A, number one, we got to understand one of the things also is the people that are all these problems come from are all public servants, okay? That means we pay their salary, okay? Now, in doing public and being a public servant means that they have to have an open book for us because they're public, they're our servants, okay? Now, a good example is that when law enforcement comes to you and asks you for an ID and you've not done anything wrong, you don't have to give them that ID. Unless you're being detained or they know you have done a crime, you're not legally responsible or required to give any ID at all. They're going to try to buffle you. They're going to try to bully you. They're going to try, and they're going to say, and you can turn right back around and say, well, I'm sorry, but can I get some ID? Well, I don't have to give you because I'm a police officer. No, 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 Charlie Brown. You're a public servant. I pay your salary. By law, you have to give me ID. You have to give me your name. You have to give me your badge number. That is required by law. If you don't like it, I would suggest to you find another kind of work. I'm sorry, what?
Hold that thought, because I want to interject right there on your list of things that they're supposed to have. The, like you said, the ID and their, you know, their the proof of department. They're also supposed to have an oath and a bond, which is an insurance mm-hmm. policy. And it's expensive, and most cops don't want to get it. And I know under New York public officers law, I believe it's 30.1.H, it says all public officers shall file with the county clerk or the town that they're doing business in. Usually it's with the county clerk. An oath and a copy of their oath and bond, which is their oath to uphold the Constitution, and a bond to insure them against any corrupt things they may do. And that oath and bond has to be filed within 30 days of the commencement of their term. That means from the day they start their office, they got a month to file an oath and a bond with the county. And if they don't do that, it states right in 30.1.1, it says the position shall be vacant. So we found many police officers and judges operating without an oath and bond. And if you really pursue this, and I would, you know, you can have recourse in the higher courts, and they're going to be really stuck because their own law says they have to have this oath and bond. And if they're operating without it and their position's vacant, you can sue them as a private individual. It would be like me or Keith showing up at your house and saying, come on, here's a yellow ticket. You're coming to the witch's court next Wednesday. See you there, or we're going to come back with the goon squad and kill you and drag your dead body in there. And that's really what it comes down to if you end up resisting ultimately and say, no, 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 no. They're gonna go to the ultimate force. And it's very, very sad. So anyway, Keith, back to what you were saying. Go ahead. I just wanted to interject that they have to have an oath and bond in most states, and I would pursue that if I were people. We did have a judge have to recuse himself from a case recently in upstate New York because he had no oath and bond. It expired in 2013. We wrote up a brief piece of paper. Didn't even type it. Wrote it by hand. Nice and neat, printed. At law, motion for dismissal with prejudice. And I say I helped the guy, and we cited the law that they were breaking, where they had failed to file the oath and bond, and we also cited malicious prosecution and lack of jurisdiction and a couple other things. Just so it wasn't just that one thing, you know, everything was valid. Made it very brief. Federal Rules of Procedure 12B. You don't have personal jurisdiction. You don't have subject matter jurisdiction. Then we cited the malicious prosecution statutes that you can go after prosecutors with if you can show they clearly prosecuted you maliciously, and that's not too difficult to prove in most jurisdictions now. And, of course, the lack of oath and bond, and that was the big one, the failure to have an oath and bond since 2013. And we got a copy of the expired oath and bond from the county clerk and stapled it to the motion, so there was no denying the fact. I mean, it was right there. He's breaking the law, so you're not a judge, sir. You're a private individual for the last 3 years. And that town may have to refund hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines and tickets they gathered up under that judge because he was not operating as a judge. He was really, I mean, most judge. The whole concept of having a judge can be debated. It's ridiculous. You should have grand juries, trial juries, sheriffs, and jury foremen. And that's really all you need. You don't need somebody in the witch's robe up there telling you how you got to interpret the law the way they give it to you, like Judge Duran in upstate New York. And I wouldn't be caught dead in that county. Because if you get sucked into the witch's court there, you're sunk. The district attorney, Michael Tantillo, was absolutely corrupt, and that works directly for the communist government out of Albany in New York State, the one that's just destroying the state. Even the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor, Sheriff Moss, he was a guy who's trying to act like a constitutional sheriff anyway from upstate New York. He really isn't. But he was running on the Republican ticket with Rob Astorino, I believe, against Cuomo for the governorship of New York State, and the Republican candidate for, and this is how you know that there's not really a difference between the Republicans and Democrats, and it all comes out of New York. Sheriff Moss, the candidate for lieutenant governor in the last New York governor's race, made this statement. He said, we have 750,000 regulations on small businesses in New York State. Let's just enforce the ones we have and not pass any more, okay? And I guess he was trying to hope that there were enough stupid idiot neocon fools out there who would think that he was doing the good lower. Let's just keep the ones we have, 700, and not great, good idea, not pass them anymore. But he specifically said, he didn't imply this, he actually said, let's just enforce the ones we have and not pass any more. That's the problem with the Republicans. They're placeholders. The Democrats will come in, the leftist agenda that want the socialists, that want to come in and tax everybody into slavery and give the government everything, or tell them it's going to be redistributed, never is. So they want to come in, and then the Republicans come in, and let's not repeal any of those 750,000 regulations. You would have thought the guy would have said, hey, let's get rid of 749,000 out of the 750,000 regulations that are killing small and middle businesses in New York State. I mean, that's what a true, I would think, a conservative or a libertarian or somebody who's a patriot would, trying to run as a patriot. He tried to classify himself as a constitutional sheriff, and it was a giant scam. But yeah, let's just keep those 750,000 regulations, okay? We won't pass any more, but we'll keep all them in place so we can hold the line till the Democrats or the leftists and the socialists and the high-tax people come back in and pass another 750,000 regulations on small businesses in New York State, and it's killing the state. Towns all over upstate New York, beautiful little small town, boarded up Main Street is 50% of the shops, and some towns are boarded up more. The only thing left open is the police station, the witch's court, the local tax attorney's office, the CPA, and the dentist. And that's about it. And the gas station, corporate. And so this whole thing, New York is open for business. Yeah, if you got a big enough check to donate to the lobbyists so they can pass whatever laws will tax your competition out of business and put the corporate into place. And it's very sad to watch it being destroyed. But, this is, the Bible didn't say the remnant would be big. But I do detect it's getting bigger. There's a great awakening out there, and I know this show is gathering listeners. I appreciate all. I'll give a shout-out to all the patriots out there. If you want to call in, 800-313-9443. I'd love to hear your take on things. Keith, you want to take over for a little bit?
Well, I'm just going to pick up where I was at with the idea of the public part. Again, if you go into court, I don't care for, tickets or whatever, the best thing you can do is what you're saying, is take and request a copy of their bond and their oath, okay? But if you really want to take one step farther and really tick them off, there's one more thing you can ask for. Any ideas what that might be, Eric?
Yeah, the first thing that would come to my mind, and I'm not sure if it's the same thing you were thinking of, so I hope it's not, because I want to hear what you have to say. I want to add to the list. I want the list to get longer. I would say the very next thing after their oath and bond, you want their performance and payment bond on the case. Now, if that's not going to really happen, usually until you get it into the court. So, Keith, did you have something else that you would add to that list between those two?
Oh, yeah. Something much more powerful than that.
Oh, please share.
It's called a 1040 form for taxes.
Well, that,
they get kickback. They get money for everything. So yep. A lot of that money is never declared on their taxes. So you ask for their 1040 form for it. That now they have to clear that on their taxes.
Right, and then
it also slows down the corruption.
Yeah, and I was remiss in ignoring the 1099. That I believe has to go along with the performance and payment bond that they take out on your case when you go into court for everything from a traffic ticket to a murder charge. I said, all the cases are bonded. So yeah, and I guarantee the witch's court isn't filing tax payments on that. So they're actually committing fraud. And boy, you want to talk about the level of corruption? Amazing.
Now let's take one step farther for this. As we're bringing up this. Everyone sits down, and there's been tons, and there's people all over the country that do a lot of video. Okay? I want you to understand, from the curb of the road in is what we call a public easement. Okay? And on that public easement, as long as you're on there, they can buffalo, they can bully, they can do. I'm sorry, but this was paid for by public. You're a public servant. You have one of two choices. Either you can let me go, or that means I can charge you for harassment and just the stirring the whole. There are several charges you can take and charge that officer with because you're on public property. There's nothing they can say or do to you. Okay? Also, take one step farther. I was watching something the other day. They were at one of the federal courts, court buildings, okay? And the U.S. Marshals came in. Again, they were on public property. And they said, well, you can't do this, can't do this. And the person said, I'm sorry, but let me take one step farther. That building was paid by federal taxes. That means I can even go into the building and do what I want to shoot video. There's nothing you can say or do. You're a public servant. I'm allowed to go on public ground. As long as it's public, I don't care if this is parks or whatever. As long as it's paid by taxpayers' money, they have no authority to stop you. I know people all over the country right now. If you sit down and talk to homeless people, you know, they run them off from here and here. I don't care. I go to the park and camp out right there. I'm on public property. You can't stop me, folks. This is paid by back to the tax dollars. It's just like we go to the stadiums when you go watch for football or basketball, whatever. That's taxpayers' money. I don't understand where or how they can allow you. First, you pay the tax on it, then you have to pay the money or whatever to get in and watch the game. That's double dipping as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, it's awful. I saw it happen to the 400 acre park in upstate New York, Ellison Park. Beautiful 400 acre park. People were walking their dogs off in the woods and off under trees, and there were huge fields on either sides of a long river that went through, and plenty of room. And of course, the Nazis came in and said, "Oh, we got to have a apparently one woman was complaining that the dogs were running off the leash. She just didn't like to see it. There was no damage, no victim. There was no crime. She never had any police report. I dug it very deep and tried to find, and it was almost like the woman didn't exist, or it was a setup. Somebody was calling, claiming to be a person who was objecting. Anyway, they got this little area walled off now for a dog park. You got paid $25 or $35 a year, I think it is now, to run your dog in this little caged-in area in the middle of a 400-acre park. Where you're supposed to be, you know, having some freedom there and having a good time. And there was never, I mean, you know, if an issue developed, it was always handled, you know, between the people down there. If two dogs got in a scrap or somebody dog peed on somebody else's sneaker, people always dealt with it. And yet the only thing they could point to was this mysterious person who could never be identified, that never filled out a complaint, that never swore an affidavit, that never gave their name. Called and complained about hundreds of people who are getting along just fine. And so there it is. There we pay our taxes for this park, and then all of a sudden they're going to make you pay, you know, a yearly fee to run your dog in a little box in there. It's absurd. So yeah, I had to comment on that because I saw that exact same thing happen, Keith. It's double taxation. It's triple taxation. It's quadruple taxation. I mean, they're getting products along the line and probably dozens, if not hundreds, of different places. So it's an obscene theft on the part of those who are in positions of who are supposed to look out for our well-being, and you know they've of course abused the privilege of being public servants, and they've become public tyrants.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's back up and just have a little discussion about attorneys, if you don't mind, for a moment, okay? Because it's kind of an important piece that goes along with what we're talking about. Okay? Any number one, where you started off, we started off this thing with a law that was passed in 1871. We're talking about called the District Organic Act. And what it was set up was for seven states a minor and 50 states in perpetual union. Okay. Well, all the laws were supposed to be for the we call it, for the seven states of minor. Okay, not for us at all. Wasn't supposed to affect us of any kind. Well, it never worked out that way because that's where we're all this going on. Okay, but the benefit of it with that understanding that is that those seven states of minor are held over by the crown. Okay, actually in Westminster Abbey. Okay, now, with that said, if you look up under their law, they call it the law, what do you call it, Bible, was it Blackstone or Blackwell, whatever it is. If you go to their fifth edition, all these people have something called Esquire behind their name. And the Esquire stands for the Heir Legal Counsel for the King and Queen.
Yeah, it's a squire. Now, a squire is always worked as for the knight, which worked under the king.
Right. Now, where do we have a king and queen at? I don't have anyone here that is qualified for a king or queen, do we?
A lot of people in the communist government would like to be, like Kim Jong Hillary and Obushma,
wow,
and all our other favorite little tyrants and thugs and dictators, but mostly, to be honest and not be joking about it, it's just still the royal families of Europe, which is came out of the Curia, which were the wealthy families that migrated north out of Rome after Rome was sacked.
Right.
They didn't go down with the ship. They went north, became the land barons and the robber barons and the landholders and the lords and kings and the power brokers of northern Europe. And, of course, a bunch of them migrated from Germany into England. That became the Windsors family. So it's the King Juan Carlos of Spain. It's the British royal family. It's a bunch of very people who hold their paper, the Rothschilds and some other families I won't name right now. We know who they are. And then, of course, you know, then you get down into the high corporate level, the Rockefellers and the DuPonts and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think, you know, I thought they were all operating on the same page, but I do get the feeling there's some defectors who are not happy going down with the Satanists and the Luciferians. I mean, it's a really bad choice. It's an obvious choice. I can't believe it's obvious money cannot buy you brains. And money can't buy you brains. It can't buy you morals either. So it's not, you know, it seems to be often mutually exclusive. I hate to say it, but the people at the very, very top have taken us to a very, very bad place. Not a local, national, liberal, progressive agenda. These are not colonial Marxists and leftists. It's higher than that. This is the Vatican. The Vatican sees this. But all those refugees, quote-unquote, pouring over the border, I noticed, you know, coming from, you know, all these refugee countries that are dumping into northern Europe, creating a nightmare of chaos and cultural conflict, and exactly what the New World Order wants, order out of chaos. They all had new sneakers, clean, fresh haircuts, perfect teeth, brand new backpacks, cell phones, most of them smartphones. I didn't have one of them at the time. I was still operating on a flip top. And there they are. They have all this stuff, and they're coming over looking good. No big muscular dudes, and all their skin was good. Nobody was starving, no teeth falling out, no sores on their face, no skinny people, no raggedy clothes. No carts with oxen pulling them over. I'm not laughing about that, but I'm saying it was absurd. These were not poor or broke. These people had just been hooked up, fresh haircuts, and then the sneakers were all matching. Like, they all bought them, like, four or five people looked like they were in one family. All of them, somebody had just taken them to the outlet to buy new sneakers. All of them. It was absurd, and that's Catholic Charities, okay? And that's who was sponsoring all this global. But geez, it's Catholic Charities, though. What are you, Eric, the Freedom Screamer, Catholic bashing? Oh, but it says charity. Come on, this is how they fool people. It's a political. It's the largest landowner in the world, the most powerful political structure. It's got its own intelligence agency. What do you think they're doing? And it's its own country sitting in the middle of Italy. I mean, don't tell me this stuff. They're just, you know, okay. And of course, they rely on millions of people to prop it up. Say, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. The vicar general and the judicial vicar who are destroying your community, they're the ones who control the courts and your local legislators. They run the bar, and the bar, you don't get to run for political office in New York unless you're an attorney. So right there, I mean, you have one private club that's loyal to the crown and the vicar general infiltrating your attorney. All three components in the court are attorneys. The defense attorney, the district attorney, and the judge. They're all members of the same private club called the bar. And they all answer to the vicar. You're never going to get any justice in a court like that. But if we put enough pressure on them, I've seen jailhouse doors swing open, and I've seen people get charges dropped or reduced, and I have seen public pressure activism works if it's done in large numbers. So we encourage people to call on behalf of Tom to the Lane County, Oregon, Sheriff Byron Trapp, and his number is, get out your pens, folks. We still have to not forget about Tom here. Tom's sitting in a prison cell wondering why, you know, if we're doing enough out here. And I would say all of us could do more. So if we could all, preferably this week, definitely every day next week, take 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 5 minutes. Maybe you get to talk to the high sheriff himself and talk some sense into him. Byron Trapp, the sheriff who's holding Tom on a courtesy hold for the U.S. Marshals. How courteous to break the law and hold somebody without bail, even though the state and federal constitution say bail has to be provided unless it's an allegation of a capital offense, meaning Tom's accused of murder. Tom's not accused of any murder. He is not accused of swatting a flea off a dog's back. He's sitting in a room trying to do something righteous, which was make sure the goon squad didn't go kill all the kids out at the Oregon standoff like they did in Waco, Texas. So he had legitimate concerns, and of course he tried to do the right thing and communicate with the cops, and look what it got him. Okay, so yeah, there's your trust factor for the enforcers. All right, so Sheriff Byron Trapp's number, if we could call him and put a bunch of calls, be polite, but be firm. Let Tom go. Or we can indict Sheriff Trapp. It's called a common law grand jury. I believe it's the Williams case from the Supreme Court. Even the witch's court had comments that the citizen grand jury is the most powerful mechanism. DA grand juries are puppets, especially when they sit in the same people or are in there for 20 years. So anyway, Sheriff Trapp's number is 541-682-4150. Sheriff Byron Trapp, 541-682-4150. The sooner we get Tom out, the sooner we can get back on the air. I'm sure everybody would love to see Tom a free man and back on the airwaves. So Tom's inmate number is 392-3405. 392-3405. Encourage everybody to call the Archbishop and the Judicial Vicar and the Vicar General. They'll give you their number. I believe, do I hear the music, Mike, or am I wrong? Yeah, we got a break coming up. We're going to get back with you all at the top of the hour. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Keith Jones from Kansas, and we will be back after this break on Resurrect Republic on the RBN Network.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.